Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Bless you, Lord. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Come on and worship the Lord. Tell him the reason why you live.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Sing it one more time. Explain the reason for life. Tell him.
To worship you, I live.
Hallelujah.
To worship you, I live to worship you. His arms are filled, protected.
in his arms.
Oh yes,
I feel protected
in his arms.
In his arms, never fails, connected. In his arms, I feel protected.
Bless you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Father, that heaven is here. When your glory comes, sometimes you're short of work. You just make melody unto the Lord. And thank you for the assurance that we have that you're here this morning. Because we've gathered not in my name, but in the name of the Lord of hosts. And where your presence is, there your glory is as well. May your glory rub off on us this morning. Thank you that Christ in us is our hope of glory. May that glory be manifested in every area of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that we will learn to love you more and more. More than we've ever loved you before. May in the days ahead, our love for you deepen and strengthen, catapulted to heights and realms that we've never operated in before. We pray today that as your word comes, may we see your glory again and may we be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you and you may be seated. Matthew chapter 22, reading from verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Right. Now, there are two unpleasant situations that I can remember from my school days, which had to do with exam time. One of them was going into an exam or preparing for an exam paper, thinking that the questions were going to come from certain areas and trying to measure in those areas, only to get to the exam room and find out that none of the places that I thought the questions would come from were chosen. How many have experienced something like that before? The second one that I can remember is answering an exam paper and going very far into the exam only to discover that I have deviated. Has that happened to anybody here? Oh, I'm the only one who's had an experience. Yeah. Look, you can start sweating like you've never sweated before. And when you check the time left to finish, you realize that it is too late to correct the error. Now, when it is to do with a minor exam, you may not lose much. But if it's a major exam, it can turn out to be very costly. And can affect a lot of things with you.
Is that not so?
Right.
Now, every Christian should know that there is a major exam ahead of us. And we cannot afford to fail this exam. When will this exam be? It will be on Judgment Day, when we will stand before the righteous judge to be examined, and then decisions will be taken about us. Is it true? Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading from verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading from verse number 9. It says, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. So we'll be first examined before the judgment will be passed. It continues and says, we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Did you see it right there?
Right.
So this is describing Judgment Day. Judgment before the judgment seat of Christ, also referred to as Bema. Now, there will be a lot of surprises on that day. That's what I personally believe. One of our surprises will be that the things that we thought were important in this life, we will discover that they were not important at all. We will discover that some of the things that we majored in and we were very strong in, that day, as we stand before the righteous judge, we will realize that they were not important to God at all. And they are not going to earn us any good marks at all. I think that another surprise that will come up is when we see those that will be recommended, those that will receive the greatest prizes, the best awards and crowns. We'll be surprised to see that the people that we knew on earth, that we thought were going to be highly recommended by God, we may discover that they are not there at all. What I mean is, God may not be as impressed with them as we were on earth. Then another surprise will be those whom God will be most pleased with. And may it include you and I. There will be people that I believe that perhaps nobody had heard about. They never made any headlines. Nobody made any fuss about them in the social media. They were not in the news headlines. They were not impressive looking. They didn't seem to have anything. But I believe that we will discover a lot of such people there that day who will become the stars, those who will be most highly recommended by the Father. Because often what is highly esteemed by men is abomination before the Lord. So there are going to be a lot of surprises. And it's my prayer that when that great exam day comes, all of us here will have no cause to be ashamed, because we would have done what the Master wanted and we would have achieved what the Master required of us. Did I hear somebody say a loud amen to that? But you see, God wants us to do well, and he doesn't want us to miss it. He doesn't want us to deviate. So he's been gracious enough to show us what matters the most to him. This was the revelation that Jesus Christ gave us in the scripture we read in Matthew 22. When somebody approached him and inquired of him, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Because I explained to you last week, Sunday, that the law of Moses was made up of 613 individual laws that the people of God, Jews, the nation of Israel, was supposed to obey. And it was such that if you fault in one, you have faulted in all. Sounds impossible. And God knew it. So the law of Moses was, if you like, a stopgap measure, awaiting the time when Christ Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, was going to come. And you must understand that God has his own timetable for everything that he's doing. When you walk with God, you must appreciate that God's time may not be your time. We tend to get agitated and worried and disturbed when certain things we are expecting to see at certain times of our lives delay and are not revealed at the time that we are expecting. But as you walk with the Lord, you must constantly remind yourself that God has his own agenda and has his own timetable, and you cannot force the hand of God. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, with whomever he wants to do it with. So there is a need to trust God and allow him to do what he wants to do at the time that he wants to do it. Can I have an amen? So God wants us to do well. And Jesus Christ, when he was interviewed about this issue, he explained that the greatest law or the greatest commandment that God has put in place for us to fulfill and obey is the commandment to love. Everybody say, to love. It is to walk in love in relation to God and to walk in love toward one another. Last Sunday, I attempted to show to you that love is the greatest. And in everything that we are trying to do and achieve and accomplish in this life, where God is concerned, we must major in love, because that is what he's looking for. And Jesus was unambiguous. He was very clear when he was asked that important question: which is the greatest commandment? Which is the most important one? He didn't beat about the bush. He said it expressly and clearly that it is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. And then he revealed that there's a second one, which is like unto the first, and that is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who is my neighbor, you may ask? Your neighbor is anybody you interact with, anybody you come into contact with, anybody that you have an opportunity to show some kindness to or to give some help to. It doesn't have to be your family member. It doesn't have to be your friend. It doesn't have to be your relative. Anybody that comes your way must be impacted by something from you. That is what Jesus was showing us, that we must love God and we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And I have an amen. We looked at why love is the greatest, and I shared a few things with you, didn't I? The first reason why love is the greatest is because of the end. Because the Bible says so very clearly. And we saw it in 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it said very clearly that the greatest of these is love. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. What's the second reason why love is the greatest? Because God himself is love, and love comes from him. Number three, because love is the cardinal sign that we are actually the children of God, that we know God, and that he lives in us. We do not identify you as a child of God by the thickness of your tongues. There are some very wild tongues when you hear them. It's nice. But that's not what identifies you as a child of God. It is your love. It is how you treat people. It is how you relate with people. Number four. Because it is the most important commandment. And the reason why they are projecting it on the screen is because some of you were here and you did not write anything. So that's why it is there. So as it is projected, you should read it out also. So the fourth reason why love is the greatest is because it is the most important commandment. Number five, because it is the greatest way to represent Christ. And Jesus has said that it is your love for one another that will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's what shows it. That's what shows that we are the people of God and we are the followers of Christ. Our love life. And I mentioned to you that perhaps the reason why we are not very effective witnesses for Christ is because we are deficient in this area of loving one another and loving the people we come into contact with. And it's a very sad thing. I dare say that it's even a tragedy where even amongst Christians and believers, we cannot love each other. Later on in my sermon, I'm going to show you what love is. Because love is a bit difficult to define in a statement or two. There are things like that. You have to explain and use examples so that you can get better meaning of what love is. Number six. Because love never fails and is eternal. Love never fails and is eternal. And number seven, love is the greatest because it is the most powerful force which binds people together in perfect unity. It's only love that can bind us together, even though we are different, come from different backgrounds, come from different environments. We are different by way of our sexes. We are different by way of our tribes, our clans, our looks. We are different. We are different and we occupy different positions on the social ladder. But what is it that can bind us together perfectly and help us to coexist and relate well with one another in spite of our differences? The only thing that can do that is love. That is why the only way to solve the perennial quarrels and the fights among different groups of people is if they can be taught to love one another and recognize that we may not be exactly the same, but we can live together in harmony. That we can agree to disagree and our opinions do not have to be the same. However, we can live together and live in perfect harmony with one another. And in the church, it should be possible to do that. Some of the greatest quarrels in life, you will discover it among Christians, among believers, among pastors, among churches. And it is so sad. And we take it out into the open arena under the view of the unbelieving world. And that is the world that we are trying to reach and we are trying to save. But we fight each other, attack one another, spread stories about one another. And we do it openly and shamelessly. Now, it doesn't mean that if there's a problem, it shouldn't be addressed. It is how it is addressed. The Bible says that we should speak the truth, love. So we must speak. And we must speak the truth. But it must be guided by love. We must not say things that are intended, consciously or unconsciously, to bring anybody down. If there's a problem with you that needs to be addressed, I must find a love way of addressing that thing. Because that is what this Christian faith is all about. The summary of the Christian faith, if you like, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The first statement there, for God so loved the world. God is love. And it was that love that compelled and drove him to do something to change our situation and change our destiny. And so, yes, if there are issues to be dealt with, let's deal with them. But there's a way to go about it. That way is the way of love. Tell the person sitting by you, please, you are permitted to correct me. But do it in love. Don't harm me with the words from your mouth. I love you. And you must love me. And I need you to survive. Then add, have you heard? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there was one more reason that I couldn't get into why love is the greatest. And I want to move into that. And then we will end. The eighth reason why love is the greatest is because without it, every good work or remarkable feat is useless. Love is the greatest because without it, without love, every good work or remarkable feat, as in F-E-A-T, every good work or remarkable feat is useless. It is what? Useless. That is why love is the greatest. Because without it, everything good that you try to do or accomplish, or every achievement that is remarkable, at the end of the day, it will become cost 90, which is equal to what? Zero. At least you remember your math. So I'll try the one who sent me the video about the girl who had a math assignment. She should calculate the circumference of a circle and was given a formula if pi is equal to 22.7. She was explaining to somebody what this math problem is, saying that they are trying to share pie, meat pie, and there are 22 people around. No, there are 7 pies, and they are trying to share it amongst 22 people. She said, hey, it will be very difficult, though. I mean, she's in school. She's done math. Very fantastic. So, ladies and gentlemen, without love, every good work or remarkable feat is useless. Why do I say so? It is because the Bible tells me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 to 3. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. That means it will be zero. Useless, to no avail. Let's look at how the Message Bible puts it. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but didn't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. See how when a gate is rusty, when you are opening it, the noise it makes. I have a burglar proof, a metallic something in my house. Need to oil it. I'm always forgetting. But anytime I'm opening it, it makes a lot of noise. Now, I have become used to the noise, so it doesn't disturb me. But I had a visitor recently. When I'm opening that thing, she cringes. She actually holds her ears because the noise is very disturbing. And it's even irritating at a point, right? So he says that, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day. And if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Somebody say love is the greatest. Now let's interrogate what he's saying. Go back to the New Living Translation. If I could speak with the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If you can speak a lot of languages, it is a great achievement. How many of you can speak a lot of languages? A lot, like 7 or 8. Julius, how many languages can you speak? How many? 5. 5 languages. Julius, are you sure? Number 1 is what? English, Ewe, Pi, Fanti. Or you can speak Hausa.
That's impressive.
You left 1 out, tongues. It's a heavenly language, is that not so?
Yes.
And there are some people who have mastered lot of languages. And usually such people have great value because they are able to operate in all kinds of places and they can make a lot of money because they have the ability to speak many languages. Then it mentions not only the earthly language, but it talks about languages of angels. These are like spiritual languages, if you like, tongues. I told you that there are some tongues that are very nice to hear. You see, some of you, you have not graduated in your tongues. We'll take it like that. But by now, you should have progressed to kutu-butu-kutu-kutu-matabu. Yeah, something like that. Do you see? There are some people, when you hear them praying in tongues, you feel like stopping the prayer to listen to what they are saying. It sounds impressive, doesn't it? And you begin to feel very limited. That then I may make tongues, hey, mama, baba. But don't worry about it. God understands what you are saying. I mean, it's like Chinese people. If I ask you to imitate a Chinese person, how do Chinese people speak? Ting chong chang, tang kun ting. Now, ting yong. You see, when you are imitating a Chinese person, in your mind, everything that a Chinese person says is ching tong tang. Is that not so? In fact, they say that when they are being named, they pick the lid of a saucepan, then throw it to the ground. The noise that it makes is the name they are given. Say ye ching, your best friend is saying. Say ye chong, your best friend is saying. Now say ye chang, so your best friend is saying. That's all. So if you are imitating a Chinese, these are the things you say. Now to you, everything they say is ching chong chang. But to the one who is initiated and understands it, everything that they say is different and is conveying a certain message and instruction. That's how it is. So don't worry at all if your tongues are not sophisticated. So don't go and force it because of what I said today. We like your hey baba baba hey baba like that. You take it like, because I'm assuring you that anytime you pray in the language of the Spirit, you are not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. And it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whatever He's causing you to pray about or intercede about, the Heavenly Father who searches the hearts knows what the Spirit is saying to Him. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody intimidate you from today. Okay? Tell the person sitting by you, from today I won't allow you to intimidate me again. So it says, if you can speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but you didn't love others, you would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You see, a noisy gong irritates. A clanging cymbal, even though in a certain sense, it adds to the music and everything, but if it goes on and on and on and on and on, it becomes a source of irritation. And at a point, you don't want to hear it any longer. And the Bible is saying that if you can speak all these different languages, both the languages of the earth and the languages of heaven, and you don't have love, it profits you nothing. It means that it is useless. It's not beneficial to you. And the reason is because there's no love in it. And it goes on to say, next verse. The next verse. No. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge. Look, the prophetic ministry is real. And it's one of the most fascinating ministry offices and gifts of the Spirit. When you encounter a true prophet,
and he's ministering. It's a very wonderful thing. And the reason why we set up the breakthrough service Thursday mornings is because I recognize and saw clearly that Pastor James has that prophetic gift on him. Accurate word of knowledge. And there are many things that he has said that have been spot on. And so I've encouraged him to develop that gift. He'll tell you that initially he didn't want to, because he was put off by the excesses of the prophetic. Because it's one of the most dangerous ministries that you can operate in. You can turn into something else. And you can wrongly use that gift to make personal gain. Unfortunately, there are a lot of excesses that are occurring. So because of that, he didn't want to. But I warned him. I told him that when you stand before God, you will have to give an account for that ministry that is given to you. So don't be like the third person in this parable of the talents who went to dig a hole and buried his gift there. Don't make that mistake. He said, use it. I've even told him that if after preaching, whilst he was sitting there listening to me, God has given him a prophetic message for the church or for anybody in the church, he should alert me. I'll let him come and give it. I'm still waiting for you. Like today, he has one. Do you see? People are trying to force him to prophesy. So it's a very fascinating ministry. And I've seen some amazing prophets also. I mean, spot on, accurate. But the Bible is saying something very profound. That if they can do all these things, and if you like, you can relate it to a pastor or to a teacher of the word of God, an apostle, an archbishop, a bishop, a servant of God, an oracle. If people are doing all these fantastic things in the name of the Lord, and the Bible says that they don't love others, they don't have love, it will be nothing, or it will be useless. Jesus also gave another account of what is going to be on that judgment day. And this time he's talking about how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on his right hand and the goats will be on the left hand. Ask your neighbor, will you be on the left or will you be on the right? Somebody said in the middle. So we are not sure whether you're a sheep or you're a goat. In fact, this is not even the one I'm looking for. There's another account where he says that people will come to the Lord and say, find it for me. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? So, look at it. Matthew 7, verse 22. And somebody has stolen the two from Isaiah. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. Now, these are no ordinary feats or achievements, even though we are supposed to operate in them. It's not so common. It's not so ordinary. Prophesying in his name. Casting out demons. When was the last time you cast a demon out? When was the last time you performed a miracle? They said, we did all these things in your name. Look at the next verse. But I will reply, this is Jesus, I never knew you. Get
away. You say what? Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Which is the greatest law? Because the summary of all the laws is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of all the laws. And why are these people getting into trouble? It's no love. Go back to the 1 Corinthians 13. Not message, please. Continue. Next verse. Where were we? Take me to where we were. And it says, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains. The message says, say to the mountain that jump. And the mountain jumps. I mean, isn't it a remarkable feat? So you go to our shy hills. The hills there. Then you go and stand there. Does it have a name? Yo, is there a name for that, our hill? Or you just call it Shy Hills? Shy Hills. It's the name of a place and it's also the name of hills. So you go to Shy Hills and then you point to it. You, Shy Hills, jump! Jump to where? Betele. It's like a Chinese movie. Then before you see, the mountain is moving. Then it lands at Betele. Somebody say, what a wow. You can do all these things. The Bible is saying that you can do this, but you didn't love this. You'll be nothing. Now, can you see that this love thing is a very serious thing? Very serious thing. Next one. If I gave everything I have to the poor, a thing. Because our tendency is to hoard everything for ourselves. Is that not so? Yeah, he's describing somebody who is ready to give and actually gives everything that he has to the poor. That means you spend a lot supporting poor people, doing humanitarian stuff. You are a benevolent person. The last time I checked, Bill Gates and what's his wife called? Melissa or something? Melinda. The Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation. The last I checked, they've given $60 billion to support health, to eradicate poverty, and so many other things. $60 billion. I mean, there are questions about these things, but I don't want to get into any controversies at this time. But that is how much they've given. And Warren Buffett and some of the rich people in the world, they are pumping a lot of their resources to do all kinds of things. The question is it out of love? Is it out of love? Because rich people are also very clever, very strategic. So there's a reason why people do things. But you see, what the Bible is actually pointing out to us, that the reason why you are doing things like that, if it is not love, is useless. Useless. So you are doing a lot. You are trying to help people and everything. But the motive behind it is not love. You know that there are people who do things for others so that the people will feel indebted to them for the rest of their lives. So it is used as a weapon, as a tool to control and manipulate people. That's evil. So the person is helping you. He has an agenda. Look, don't be deceived by many of the things that happen around us. They have an agenda. You think that the countries that give us aid and all of it. Why am I answering me crazy laughter now? Hey, you think that all this aid and grant is because they love us, they don't love us, team. It's an agenda. So we may be impressed by it. Say they love us, they care about us, they are thinking of our well-being. No, it is a manipulative tool. Don't be deceived into thinking that when certain things are done, when great works are done and remarkable feats are accomplished, it is because of love. It is not because of love. And the Bible is saying that once it is not love, it is useless. Look, there's a reason why I've taken my time to explain this thing to you. Because I told you at the beginning how I have written an exam before and got to a point and realized like a chale ogba. You have deviated. In fact, confession time. One particular exam I wrote, I think it was a chemistry paper. When it got to a point, I realized that so everything that I've written is rubbish. That day, I didn't tender in the exam paper. And later on, when the chemistry master was sharing the papers, I went to him. Say, my paper. who said he? No, no, because I knew that this paper, if they mark it, what will come will not be good. I made people do it. It's something that is done. I feel comfortable. Mommy says nobody should do it, okay? So those of us in school, yeah. Look, the chemistry teacher felt very bad. He said, Mr. Awanyo, sorry, I don't know what happened to your paper. Because I saw you in the exam room. I don't remember what he did, whether he gave me some marks or something to compensate. God doesn't want us to deviate, though. He wants us to get it right, to get it well. That's what he wants us to do. That's why he's showing us that it's all about love. Don't be deceived. Don't be impressed by things. Don't be impressed by large cathedrals. Don't be impressed by huge churches. Don't be impressed by huge meetings and huge services and a lot of lights and a lot of musical equipment. Don't be impressed. Don't just be impressed by things from the surface analysis of them. Because all those things, if love is not the motive behind it, it's useless. It's totally useless. And you failed the greatest commandment because love is the end. And even sacrifice my body. I could boast about it, but if I didn't love it, I would have gained nothing. Sacrifice my body. What this means, my friend, is that you decide to die for what you believe in. And there are people who are prepared to die for. That's why they are suicide bombers. They are prepared to tie bombs around their bodies, walk among people and detonate them. They've been told that if they die in such a manner, when they get to heaven, they'll have how many wives? 70 virgins. 70. That's what they believe. So they are prepared to die for what they believe in. How did the Christian faith come to us? People gave their lives. People sacrificed their lives. It's not an easy thing to die, oh. You know that they are going to kill you. I wonder how many of us, if they come and they put a gun to our heads and they say, if you don't renounce Jesus, we will shoot you. Renounce Jesus, say that I don't believe in him again. He's not my savior and my everything. Say, if you don't do that, we will kill you. I wonder how many of us will say that, then kill me. And some of the babies I know. Even me, myself, I don't know. I pray that I'll give the correct answer and be ready to die for the Lord. But guess what? Even if I do that and I don't have love, it's useless. You see, sometimes people can be sycophants, fanatics about things. People can feel very strongly about things, but the motive behind it is not correct. The Bible says, if I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it is useless. It means that you are making a lot of sacrifices, but you don't love people. You don't care about people. You are not interested in helping others. You come early to sweep the church. You come early to set up things. You do all night choir rehearsals. The rehearsal was very nice. Saw the video. You guys had a lot of fun. It's great. You forsook your beds. And my friends, you don't love one another. Who could die a crank? Who could die a crank?
It all comes down to love. So let this sink into your heart and into your spirit. All of us, we should let this sink into our hearts and into our spirit. And it's about love. And love is the greatest thing to live for and aspire to. Love. And love is practical. Very, very practical. My time is not going to be, but love is patient. If you love me, you'll be patient with me. Love is kind. If you love me, you must be kind to me. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. If you love me, yes, I've hurt you, offended you. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Some of us, we have a record. We have a folder. You have a folder on your computer with different files and backups. Hey! You have 3 backups. One of them is at the... one of the backups is in the cloud. You have details. This person did this to me on the 22nd of February, 2024. He said 4 p.m. No, it wasn't 4, it was 3 p.m. He said that, this, that, that. And every time they can retrieve it and recall it, hey, and always remember, and never forgive any. You keep a record. By the way, remember what the Bible says. Oh Lord God, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest fear. When you are able to forgive people readily and easily, it's a sign of greatness. Who will fear you, becoming more like God. And because if God were to record all the time of our things, and for information, he's assessing our some weakness. He's not just looking at the bad that we did. He's looking at the good that we should have done that we didn't do. He's looking at the motives behind what we did, what we said. He's looking at even what you thought. Ali, lift up your hand and say, Jesus, hey, thank you for your blood. It is only the blood that can atone for our sins. Clap your hands for the blood of Jesus. I've taken my time to run through all of this. I'm trying earnestly, even desperately, to get you to understand that don't be impressed by the wrong things. Our focus and our minds must be on what is the greatest thing, which is love. So that how we live our lives, how we relate with people, how we treat people, love must be the motivating factor behind it. Because that is the only way we can pass that final exam and pass it with flying colors. Pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to walk in love. Every minute, 3 things: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Rise to your feet. Let's end the service. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And you just pray for yourself for a couple of seconds. Our time is up, so we should be ending. But just pray for yourself, and you want to speak to our helper, the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I realize that there is a lot of work that needs to be done on me, done on my heart. Place your hand on your heart. Tell him that, Holy Spirit, I know that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. But sometimes I hold it back. I stop it from manifesting the way it ought to. Help me to live the love life, to walk the love walk, and to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and to love others like myself. Cry out and pray for the Holy Ghost to help you and assist you in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord right now. Just for a couple of seconds, speak to him. Help me, help me, help me, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Without you, I cannot make it. Without you, I cannot meet God's demand. Without you, I cannot walk in love. I realize that there's a lot of selfishness in me. There's a lot of self-centeredness in me. I take more interest in myself than in others. Let there be a change and a transformation in my life.
Anything that I do, everything that I do, may love be the driving force behind it, so that I can be pleasing to the Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. And every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you want to say, Pastor, please, can you pray with me? I want to give my heart to Jesus. Look, without Jesus, your life is totally useless. And today, you want to pray that you become Lord over you. Say, Pastor, I didn't struggle to fully understand what it means to be saved and born again and all of those terminologies. But I realize that I need Jesus and I can pray with you. Maybe you are watching me. You're not here physically present, but you realize that you need Jesus in your life. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you that Jesus will come into your heart. God bless you. Or you're watching us right there in your room. You can lift up your hand. He's waiting for you. God bless you. Now pray this prayer with me and let's encourage them. Let everyone join in this prayer and say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I receive him, Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him. I will follow him. I will not turn back, but I'll press on with him. Please write my name in the book of life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Let him help me to become everything that God wants me to be. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.